fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and happy Advent. We're just beginning the first week of Advent. Advent, that season of preparation here. We're at the head of the church year. The church year begins now, this week. And as we move through the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, the church takes us every year through the whole story of Jesus' coming, the incarnation, his life, passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension into glory. And that's the Paschal mystery. That's what's being told again and again and again, the story of Jesus' coming and the work of salvation. And it's a fantastic season. This season of Advent is a time of preparation for all of us to prepare for both the celebration of Christmas, the remembering, celebrating, giving thanks to God for the gift of Jesus' incarnation, for his coming in the flesh, for becoming one of us. So it's also, though, and in many ways, almost more importantly, it's focusing on the return of the Lord. That's why this season is such a season of preparation. It's not just a season to get ready for the celebration of Christmas. It's ready. It's the Christian world. It's God's people remembering that Jesus is going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the most important thing in each one of our lives is that we are ready. We're ready to receive the Lord. We're living in a way right now with our lamps burning, with a sense of clarity and urgency and purpose. We're awake. This is a theme that you'll hear again and again in this season of Advent, like to wake from sleep. We're being exhorted by the Word of God, by Scripture, by the church, to wake up to who we are in Christ, to the truth about how we're supposed to live each and every day. And another theme is from darkness to light, the clarity of which Jesus' coming brings light to the world. It's a key theme. And we know Christmas has got this beautiful light service. There's so much there that we celebrate. But it's all pointing to the coming of the Lord, both the knowledge of it and the reality of it. Living each day with the knowledge that the Lord could come tomorrow. Are we ready for his return? We could pass away tomorrow, today. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Every single person is destined for that meeting with Christ. And the church is a prophetic sign in the world, proclaiming to the whole world, going forth and shouting, wake up, wake up. Be ready, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that means Jesus is coming. Jesus, who established his kingdom, coming on earth and establishing it in his church, is going to come again in glory to definitively and unequivocally and completely establish the Father's kingdom and reign forever and ever. A great section of the Catechism for Lent is part one of the Profession of Faith, section two, and it's chapter two, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. The Catechism, as you know, gives to us the clarity of what our faith is all about in the teaching. And so I want to walk through some of this today and touch on some of the key themes that are important for us to keep in mind during this season of Advent. So it's Article 7, from thence he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So the main point is, number one, he will come again in glory. That's a great meditation for the season of Advent. Jesus is in fact coming again. He didn't just leave a message. He didn't just leave a church. His church is the sign of the reality of what he himself has begun. That is, he's established the kingdom of God. He's united human hearts to himself to bring home to the Father. His work of salvation and redemption has begun. It's so important to see he has not just left a message. He hasn't just left us a book. He hasn't just left us a kind of plan that we're all supposed to follow and we're on our own. We're united to him, to Jesus Christ, to his plan and purpose. And what we're going to see as I read through some of these paragraphs of the Catechism is how clearly the church understands who Jesus is, in his depth, in his power, in his glory, in his majesty. I mean, we're living, unfortunately, through a time when God is being pushed from the human horizon. The figure of Jesus Christ, as Cardinal Ratzinger had said, went on to be Pope Benedict XVI, that the world is emptying, and even forces in the church are emptying the figure of Jesus Christ of his majesty and his power and his glory, and kind of flattening who he is. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. He's a good man. He basically wants us to try harder. And we're kind of working our way to heaven on our own strength and in our own way. There's nothing particularly or absolutely unique about Jesus He's another important religious leader in the history of the world. As we read through this, I want you to hear and to see how clear the church's understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus is come to do. Paragraph 668, it starts here. Christ already reigns through his church. Quoting Romans chapter 14, Christ died and lived again that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. It's one of those simple sentences, one line, where the heart of Jesus' revelation and purpose is revealed. Why did Jesus come? Here Paul wants to make and underline a central point. Christ died and lived again. Why did he die? Why did he rise from the dead? What's the purpose of all that? So that he might be Lord. The central cry of the Christian people in the early church was, Jesus Christ is Lord. Peter's preaching Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles in the upper room and stirred their deepest energies and moved them and really thrust them into the marketplace. And Peter stood up and began to preach. And he unfolded the story of who Christ is and what God's plan of salvation is. And at the end of that amazing proclamation, that first proclamation of Peter, the first pope on that day, at the end of it, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up, and he has made him both Lord and Christ. He's Lord and God. All power and authority belong to him. Literally, friends, the entire world and the entire universe was made by him. It was made for him. And it is all destined to exist forever for his glory. And what he's dealing with now in this world is with the free creatures that God has created in his image and likeness, human beings, who were made to lead the whole chorus of God's creation as an offering to God, to praise God, to gladly submit it to God, to serve him. That creature has fallen from glory, has lost its way, and Jesus has come to restore the Father's purpose. He is Lord. And right now he's inviting through his church every single human being who belongs to God, was made for God, to come again and to find that truth and to bend our knee and to accept the Father's revelation of the person of Jesus Christ and the life that was revealed in Jesus that shows us exactly how we're supposed to live. As I mentioned last week, Jesus is so clear about it. It's my food to do the will of my Father. Jesus came to say, this is what a human being is. Your whole purpose is to live for the praise and glory of God. How do you express that? In loving God. Well, how do you love God? By obeying his commandments, by being yielded to him, by seeking first his kingdom. So Jesus showed us by submitting his own life to God the Father, reordering the human race now, being united to us where Adam rebelled, and where Adam came out from under the lordship of God, God's rule and God's reign. Jesus brings us back underneath it as the second Adam. And he rightly aligns us to God the Father. And he reveals the truth about what the purpose of human life is and where human fulfillment can only be found. Gazing at the Father, saying yes to the Father. And the church exists to bring that message to the whole world that every human being could be brought to the point where they freely bend their knee to God. And listen to the words that will echo throughout this season of Advent of Jesus himself. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Change the direction you're moving in. Turn away from your indifference to God. Turn away from your lukewarmness. Turn away from your radical rebellion. Turn away from your self-love and turn to God. And let him heal your soul. Let him forgive your sins. And that happens by coming under his lordship. Because, friends, every single knee is going to bend. Philippians chapter 2. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's coming. We can do it now voluntarily. Or when he comes again in glory, every single knee will bow, even those who oppose him, those who deny him, who at that time will be beating their chests and saying, why did I do this? What was I thinking? They will be horrified at the nature of the rebellion. But they too will bend their knee and they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the church begins this section with that summary passage from Paul. Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So the fundamental question is, do we understand that? If we internalize that, the question in my life is, Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you put him at the center of your life? This is an important season for us to really take a look at that. Back in the, when I went through the Life and the Spirit seminar years ago, they used to present this diagram, three circle diagram. And the diagram, the circle represented my life. And in the center of that circle was a throne, was a chair, a throne. And I was sitting on that chair. And the first circle had God outside the circle. So I was in control of my own life. I'm the boss. I'm my own master. God's not in the picture. The second circle is I'm still on the throne and God's just barely inside the circle, that he's there somehow in the circle of my life, but I keep him close to the margin. I don't get too serious about it. I don't get too radical. I don't live the way he lived or called us to live, or the apostles. I kind of make sure the religion thing doesn't take control of too much of my life. And I keep him at arm's length and I comfortably control. And I determine what part God's going to play in my life. And so in that circle, I'm determining he's in the picture, but he's not the center of it. And then the third circle, it's Jesus himself sitting on the throne, and I'm on my knees looking at him, gazing at him as he gazes upon me. He's the center. He's on the throne. He's the reason I get up in the morning. He's the reason for which I live. I was made for him. I was made by him. And now I'm called to follow in his footsteps. And that's my glory. That's what Advent's really all about, is to rightly align us to the Lord so we can be his servants in the world today, but we can also get ourselves ready and help other people get ready to meet him. So that's how this paragraph begins. What does the Lord want? What is God's plan? God's plan is that his son would be the Lord of all. All authority over God's creation is in the hands, in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the Lord both of the dead and of the living. But the same paragraph goes on. It said, Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity and God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He is, quote, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It's right from the scripture. For the Father has put all things under his feet. Christ is Lord of the cosmos. That is, he's the Lord of everything. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history. In him, human history and indeed all creation are set forth and transcendently fulfilled. It's kind of a mouthful. But what is the church saying here? It's simply filling out what the scripture itself teaches us about Jesus. That Jesus Christ is Lord of what? Of everything, of all of God's creation from beginning to end. And he's the Lord of human history. It's his story. It's about him and his coming and how each one of us individually has responded or has not responded to that story and the gift of his coming. In him, human history, and indeed all creation are set forth and transcendently fulfilled. Jesus Christ is not only the purpose, but he's the complete fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for human history. May we walk in his footsteps. Have a great day, friends.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.